So I had this note sitting beside my chair, and it's from Jonathan's message last week, one of the little notes. I was just sitting there, read it, and there was one thing. He was talking about a static TV. Sometimes our walk or our life can be like a static TV. And I was thinking, how many people remember static TVs? How many people remember a rolling TV? How many people remember the rabbit ears and the UHF and VHF knobs? You know, like we know what a static TV is. Maybe there's somebody younger, I don't know, that doesn't remember that. But you can imagine that. You know, like a fuzzy picture, like a blurry picture. You take a picture with your iPhone 15 or what do they have now, like 25 or something. You take a blurry picture. It probably doesn't take blurry pictures, but you make it blurry. And that's kind of like that, out of focus. You can't see straight. Well, the snow, the static, he said it's static TV, but faith and truth of God comes in and settles it. And I like that thought. Like we have a fuzziness, a blurriness, a rolliness. We can't see right. And we want to see the rest of the program. You know, we want to see what God has for us. And we trust faith in the truth of God comes in. We trust God. We trust his word, and it settles it. And I was thinking, too, condemnation is a fuzz. He talked about this, condemnation. But condemnation is like a fuzz, right? We don't see clear in our life or how God sees us or how God sees somebody else. And it makes it fuzzy. But we trust faith. We trust God's word, truth. In Romans 8:1, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ. And So this morning, Luke 1:28 to 29. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Like, you are highly favored. You are blessed. And was she like Gideon? Who, me? You know, Gideon, you know, I'm the smallest. My family's the smallest. We're the weakest. I'm the weakest of the weakest. Who are you talking about? And me, highly favored, me, blessed among women? Because it says, but when she saw him, she was troubled at this saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. So if God calls you, it may trouble you. It may trouble you when God calls you out and says, hey, you, I've got some grace for you. We were going through Jonah on Friday. Jonah was very troubled when God called him out. You know, he didn't really want to be favored to send God's message, right? But so like, then you have pregnant Elizabeth filled with the Holy Spirit. Maybe Mary had a little static on her picture. You know, what's going to happen now? I'm pregnant. In this culture, please hold for, oh, we got, there we go. Don't know what happened, but yeah. So like, God allowed, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, so he gave her a message, right, to confirm the message. Don't we need that sometimes? Like, we've got a call in our life, we're heading out, and then it gets a little fuzzy in the world, and then God gives us confirmation. Confirmations, maybe sends a person. Maybe we read something in the Bible and it's like, whoa, that's right. I didn't forget that, but I forgot that, you know? And I know that. Like, and she says, blessed are you among women. Blessed is she who believed. Like, you are blessed. And Mary's got to be thinking, wow, the angel said it. It was a word from God. And this is just confirmation. Like, it really had to bless Mary to hear that, you know. And God used her, a betrothed virgin, getting pregnant by the Holy Spirit. She was a literal vessel of the Holy Spirit. And we're never going to carry baby Jesus, but we carry crucified Jesus. You know, we have the Holy Spirit in us that testifies of Jesus, and we're a vessel of the Holy Spirit, and God uses people. And what would Joseph think? Like, maybe Mary's thinking some static. What is Joseph going to think when he hears this? At the least, probably a divorce. You know, your husband hears that the baby you're going to have is not his baby. At the worst, stoning. Like, in Jesus' day, they stoned adulterers, right? And in between, maybe not stoning, but a public spectacle and an outcast. Like, anybody ever read The Scarlet Letter as a kid in high school? Something like that, you know? What would her parents and her family say? What would other people say? What would you have said if you were highly favored with a mission like that? Like this is, and I say that because that's how she could have perceived it, right? But it wasn't highly favored. It was highly favored. She was highly favored. That was the objective truth. But she could get to thinking, such a high calling to be a surrogate mom could logically lead to her being a martyr. You know, really logically, highly favored. And the word highly favored means to grace or to be highly graced. And God's favor is enough. My grace is sufficient for you. The favor of God, the gifts of God. Salvation is a gift of God. It's by grace through faith, right? She believed. Blessed is she who believed. That's how we get saved, right? By grace through faith. And that's how we walk with God, by grace through faith. And his grace is sufficient for you. It's enough. How many like that song? Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. Like, to sing that and mean it. Like, God's grace is enough for me. And the gifts of God are by the Holy Spirit. They're by grace. And we'll come back to that. The blessings of God. It was sufficient for Paul, like, who wrote this, that God said that. He had a thorn in the flesh, and he was weak. This was in his weakness. God's strength is made perfect in Paul's weakness. So he's weak, but God's grace was sufficient. So Mary, for what she would face for being pregnant before the wedding feast, and Joseph knew it wasn't his. She knew Joseph knew it wasn't his because she hadn't consummated the marriage. Let's think about, what did Jim Elliot and the crew think when they began to be called to the Aucan Indians in Ecuador? You are highly favored. You're going to go to these savage killer Indians that have killed everybody they've met. You have a great mission. You know, they could have been like, is that highly favored? You know, but they knew, and they knew they were a savage tribe of killers. And they're highly favored to this difficult task. They were willing to die, but there was grace for that too. Do you know that? There's grace for everything, even if it includes being a martyr. There's grace for that. And they did die. And then the entire tribe later came to Christ. What about the wives? The grace is sufficient for them too. They watched their husbands die, and then a couple of them led the entire tribe to the Lord. Like, wow, They had grace too. His grace is enough. His grace is sufficient for you. And I was thinking this, like, he's calling you and me just like he called Mary. Like, he's calling us. He calls us to the impossible, to be sanctified and holy. Okay, like, but his grace is sufficient because he does it. Right? Isn't it impossible for a virgin to get pregnant? Yeah. He called Mary to the impossible. And he calls us to the impossible. Isn't it impossible for a mortal human with an Adamic nature to be sanctified and holy? Yeah, he who says he's without sin's a liar. You know, it's impossible. Yeah, he calls us to that. And says, he who calls you will do it. He'll sanctify you. So grace is favor and gifts. Think about spiritual gifts. We are called to edify the body of Christ. Every person here has at least one gift and maybe more. Now, I was thinking, like, some of them you can just see, right? Be like, this person is an evangelist. This person is a servant. This person has the gift of giving. You can just see. And some of them, it's not so clear. But his grace is sufficient with your gifts. So I was thinking of outreach. I was thinking outreach is about evangelism, right? Yeah. But it's also about encouragement. Because we encourage each other. In the outreach, there's inreach. We're encouraging each other as we're going out, number one. But also, we meet a lot of believers. We give them Bible verses, and we talk to them about the Lord, and sometimes we pray with them, and they go on their merry way, and we don't know where to. Maybe they're from another state, or maybe they're from the church across the street. We don't know. But we encourage other people, other believers. Service, including with the team. We serve each other on inReach, but we run across people. We meet people like the Hidalgo family, and we serve them like they're servants. And like, so all the gifts, we need an administrator. We could really use an administrator. But giving, one time we went to Richmond with the team, there must have been 10, 15 people. And somebody paid for Starbucks for every single one of them. Said, get in line. It's my treat. And I was like, what? And everybody was like super blessed. I mean, the spirit was like, wow, yeah, this is awesome. I want a large matcha tea with whatever, you know. It was just great. It blessed everybody. And that person has the gift of giving. You can just see it, you know. And the gift of giving, I don't know if you've ever noticed, some people have the gift of giving where they give extravagantly. Like, this girl from France came. She grew up in Paris in a very well-to-do family. She's actually married to Julian's brother, and they lived in Africa for 15 years. But she came, and she bought us chocolates from the Frenchman's Corner. And I was like, whoa. I was just so blessed, because we never buy that for ourselves, you know? But it doesn't have to be chocolates from the Frenchman's Corner. I see Becca making little crafts that cost pennies and giving them to people. You know, it doesn't have to be extravagant giving. It could be somebody who's extremely frugal giving out of their heart. And anyway, giving. People have the gift of giving. You called to edify the body because that's what the purpose of the gifts are, right? They're spiritual gifts. You're called to salvation. You're called to walk with God. You're called to edify the body. And you don't know what your gift is? Just show up. Show up at every function, and you'll begin to see what God has gifted you with. You'll begin to enter in, and it will just come. You know, Steve, he's got the gift of evangelism and encouragement. He shows up everywhere. He's like, here, got some encouragement for you. You know, it's like, and giving. And So what did Joseph think? Joseph thought, said then Joseph, her betrothed husband, which was counted as a husband legally, just like we're betrothed to Christ, right? We're saved, like we're married to Christ, legally in every way, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example. He didn't want to do that. Was minded to put her away secretly. He was going to put her away. And this wasn't a no big deal like today. Like in society today, it happens all the time, right? A betrothed, legally married virgin getting pregnant was a huge deal. You could be stoned. And a divorced woman was also a huge deal. Nobody would want to marry her, and then she would be extremely wanting. Being put away secretly might mean you wouldn't get stoned, but she'd still kind of have a mark on her, like the Scarlet Letter, if anybody's ever read that. The people would mark her. So Joseph ends up accepting her and the baby as his own, like in every way, legally, like this is my baby. Why? But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So why did Joseph listen to this illogical, unreasonable request by the angel? Like, can you imagine being told that? Yeah, she's pregnant, but it's from the Holy Spirit. Now, wouldn't you have doubts, even if you saw an angel and heard that? Like, maybe not, because the angel's presence was so powerful, and the Holy Spirit, like, spoke to your heart. And this is what I'm going to mix two messages. I could make a whole nother messages off this, but there's a verse about a plumb line. Anybody, Dean, you know what a plumb line is, right? You know what gravity is, right? So you have gravity, and you take a string and you put a weight on it, and the gravity will make it perfectly vertical. So if I want to know if this edge of this is vertical, I hold a weight on a string next to it, and I can measure here and measure at the bottom and make sure it's perfectly vertical. But the true objective truth is the plumb line, right? Subjective truth, I might look at it and be like, that looks straight. And I hold the plumb line up, and I say, it still looks straight. Well, it's too bad. The plumb line's the objective truth. Well, how it looks to you is the subjective, and we need to go by the objective truth. Right? And Amos 7, 8, and 9. Then the Lord said, behold, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. And all I'm using from this verse is the example of the plumb line. The way he used it was a little different than I'm using it. Basically, they were saying their works were good. There's no problem with us. And God was like, look, I'm judging you, and I'm saying you got a problem. And you're saying there's no problem, but objectively, there's a problem. So the plumb line is the objective truth. And so divorcing Mary looked straight to the eye, right? It looked plumb. It looked plumb to him. He thought that would be the right thing to do to our human reason. But God showed Joseph divorce was not the answer. He showed him. He held up a plumb line, and he said, this is my way. This is what I want. And marry her. So objective truth, not just what you think, Joseph. She is conceived of a virgin. This is objective. And Psalm 119:89, your word is forever settled in heaven. We have an objective truth that God, it's like it doesn't change. God's word doesn't change. Other factors can give a subjective illusion that something isn't plumb or true. Tell me, Dean, or anybody that's ever put up a fence or a wall or anything else, have you looked at it and it looked plumb, the fence post, and then you stuck the level on it and it wasn't? Now, why is that? Why did it look plumb and then it's not? Well, if you have a perfectly level floor, then you can hold it up there and everything else is level and plumb. You can eyeball it and tell. But if the other stuff that you have around it is not level and plumb, then it's going to mess you up, right? So other factors give this subjective illusion. Like a crooked tree. If you're setting up a fence post and you got some crooked trees or a slope, you got a slope, or some crooked walls, make you think, and so it can make you think something is plumb when it's not. You hold the post up, it looks plumb. You hold the wall up, it looks plumb. And then you put the level on it, and it's not. Or you hold a plumb line, it's not. The other things are making you think it is. Or vice versa. It can make you think something is not plumb when it is. You hold it up, it's plumb. Then you got a bunch of other stuff next to it, and it doesn't look plumb. But it really is plumb, right? So it goes both ways. So I just pulled some pictures off the internet. I looked up a picture of a crooked tree. This house is, the whole house is leaning to the left. I don't know if you see that. But it's leaning to the left. It's not really leaning to the left. It just looks like that in the picture, right? Because the crooked tree makes it look that way. So the house is plumb, but some crookedness makes it look not plumb. So you got the word of God, and then you throw in the world's views, and you could be looking at the word of God and say, that doesn't look straight. But it is straight. This is the objective truth. Put the plumb line on it. And then this is just a mess. Like, I was looking at it, what could I point out? Like, okay, you could say that this right here is plumb. But then you could say, no, it's not plumb. This is plumb. And both of these are leaning left. Or you could say, this is plumb and only this is leaning left and that's leaning right. You can't tell by looking at it, right? Because why can't you tell? Because there's so many other crooked things in that picture. All the other crooked things are distorting the truth. So, man could have said, highly favored. It doesn't look like it. Or Mary could have said, highly favored. It doesn't look like it when Joseph is about to divorce me. God's word is objective. Romans 3, let God be true and every man a liar. And God is true and every man is a liar. God is true. The objective truth says Mary is highly favored. And we can see it now. We've got the plumb line. We got the rest of the story. We see she was highly favored. Right? Luke 1:35. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. For with God nothing will be impossible. Nothing will be impossible. With God. Outside of God, it is impossible. But with God, it's not impossible. See, God can't go against himself or against his nature. God cannot lie. You know, and like in philosophy class, they try to confuse you. Can God do anything? Yeah, God can do anything. Can he make a rock so big he can't roll it up a hill? You know, he's not going to go against his own nature. He created gravity, you know. Like, you can confuse yourself all you want, but you have subjective truth and you have objective truth. Objective truth, with God, nothing is impossible. So we stay with God. We think with God. We walk with God. Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord." This means female slave, whether voluntary or involuntary. "Let it be to me according to your word." May we say that to every message from God, to every calling from God. If God is calling us something to a hard task that is outside, that is impossible, we say, "Let it be to me. Your word will sanctify me by your truth." Your word is truth. Sanctify me by your truth. You know, us being sanctified, that's impossible. But God's word can do it. And with God, nothing is possible, no matter how hard it is for us to understand. So Mary could have looked at the crooked tree and said, "What if? What if? What would Joseph say? What would my family say? What would people say?" And she could have said subjectively, "They're right. They're plumb. They're straight." She could have said that because that's how it looks. So because they're straight, it's impossible to have a virgin birth. The angel must be off. She could have said that, right? Because remember what I was saying earlier, crooked things could make something that's really true seem not true, right? Make it seem unplumb. But she looked at the plumb line. The angel brought the word of God, and for sure the Holy Spirit spoke to her heart. And I think, too, about when Peter had that vision. He was saying, "Not so, Lord," to God. You know, all the unclean things came down on the sheet, and God was saying, "Kill and eat." And he was like, "No, not so, Lord." And God's objective truth prevailed. And the church is the pillar and ground of truth. And versus the world. The world can bring in optical illusions. Something just slightly off. Or a couple things. To try to give us the illusions about the church. And I'm not saying that things in the church can't be off. There can even be false prophets in the church. Right? Angels of light. People can creep in, wolves in sheep's clothing can rise up from amongst yourselves. You know, Paul warned and warned and warned about this. There can be things off in the church. But look at what God says about the church. Satan wants people to react to something that's off and do a 180. Anybody ever see something like that? You have a church named... what is it like? They're trying to distance themselves from something that's off, and they swing entirely the other way. And you can even see it in the name. What was that church? Was it Free Methodist Church or something? They're free because the other church charged for seats. Maybe that's not a good example, but like I went to a church. They sang hymns and it was dead. So now we're never going to sing hymns again, you know, only contemporary music. Where I went to a church, it was all this contemporary music, and it was hyper-spiritual. So only hymns, you know, like they'll swing the opposite way and throw out the baby with the bathwater. And Satan wants to get us to say, "Hey, that church had a problem. I got hurt in that church. So all churches are bad." You know, like just swing the other way. And then he'll come and replace it with something that looks like church. Isn't he a counterfeit? You know, the Antichrist. He tries to counterfeit Christ. A social club. Well, you'll find community, but not godly fellowship. The TV and the internet. Well, you'll get doctrine, but not body life. And these are okay. Social clubs are okay. Community's okay. Sound doctrine on the internet's okay. I listen to the internet sometimes. But it doesn't replace the church. That's my point. Like Satan will take it and try to get you to do a 180 and replace the church with it. And that's the crooked part. Him saying this is a replacement. You don't need church. Church is bad, right? That's the crooked part, is substitute. Crooked trees, walls, objects, slopes make it look off. But God's plumb line will prevail. And what does the objective plumb line say about the church? What does it say? Oh. 1 Timothy 3:15. I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourselves in the house of God. And the word house means dwelling, and by implication, family. Because families live together. They dwell. The house of God. And he just got through talking in the passages above it about prayer and the role of people in the church, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. So you can find a plumb line in church. You can find objective truth in the church. That's what it says. There's objective truth in the church. Something other than the church can't give you. There will be something missing if you're not in a church. There's going to be, you know, you'll get good things, but there'll be something missing, right? You might have good teaching, but no body life. You might have body life, but no good teaching. There'll be something missing. Objective truth. The world tells us the church is a lie. Isn't that what the world says? The world does say that. Are you going to believe the word or the world? You know, you put two up next to each other. You're going to believe the plumb line or the slope or the crooked tree or the things that give you the perception. Here's what the world says about the church. It's the only army that shoots its wounded. And actually, church people say that. That's like a little joke, right? But that's what the world says. What does the Bible say about the church? Does the Bible say that? It does say, unless you devour one another. Like, there's things that you need to do. But it says that the church builds itself up in love. That's what the Bible says about it. It builds itself up in love. It doesn't shoot its wounded. It builds itself up in love. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Word says. That's what the objective truth says. And even if I had a bad experience, that's a slope, a crooked tree, believe objective truth. Believe without seeing. You can have faith without seeing. Believe that you are righteous. Impossible. That's impossible. I hear something. Believe your brothers and sisters are righteous. That's even more impossible. Yeah. No, God says they are. God says you are, right? Applying truth will cause the static snow on the TV to disappear. Let God be true. And we can apply truth too. God's standard versus our reasoning that something is plumb or straight or true. God says, you were created. What does the world say? You're not. Satan says you're not created. He loves to attack creation, the blood, like all the important stuff, the Bible. And I heard this guy on the radio. He was talking about, I know his name, maybe Joseph Youssef. I don't know. He has a missionary to Muslims. And he said something like, Muslims famously say the Bible was changed. Once the Quran was written, they changed the Bible so it didn't match the Quran. Jesus was a prophet, but Muhammad's a higher prophet. And Joseph Youssef said, wait a minute. At whatever, he knew the date that the Quran was written or what about then. He said there were 250,000 copies of the Bible by that time. They found that many manuscripts. And he said that, you're telling me that 250,000 people are going to copy the Bible wrong so because the Quran came out. But there were 250,000 copies before the Quran came out. And he actually said quite a few Muslims have, like, began to seek Christ, and a few of them have received Christ. because of that knowledge, you know. But God says you were created, and man says evolution. Man says you weren't created. God says, I love you, created in my image, fearfully and wonderfully made. And man says, you're a piece of matter. You don't matter. You're an accident. God says, life is precious. Man says, just kill yourself, or the world, system. It doesn't matter if you kill yourself. Euthanasia. God says, the virgin birth. Man says, that's impossible. Here's a bunch of crooked trees that say that's impossible. The virgin birth's impossible. God says nothing is impossible with God. Man says, here's a whole bunch of walls, fence posts, crooked trees, everything. That's impossible to say nothing's impossible with God. God says, I give you grace. And man says, that's impossible. I don't deserve grace. Okay, so we've received Christ as our Savior. We believe in the Trinity and the resurrection and the virgin birth. The Bible's true. We sang the song, and we love that. And we obeyed God in the past and experienced His presence, and we're mature believers. But are we like the driver of a car when it comes to truth? We have blind spots. We all have blind spots. And so we went to Richmond, and I had a stiff neck. And so I didn't look in the mirror. I didn't turn my head as often. I tried to use my mirrors more. And I almost hit two cars, you know. But one of the passengers cried out, watch out, on one of them. But I had saw it, both of them I saw, like, right at the last second. Because I was, like, actively aware of what I was doing. But it was kind of an empty highway, and I thought I remembered in my rearview mirror nobody was there, and then somebody was. You know, am I the only one that's ever done that? Come over and somebody's in your blind spot? And we were talking about that. So what is a blind spot? It's like you can see all over here. See all over there. You think you know where you're going. You think you know what's behind you. You even think you know what's beside you pretty much. You know, but you got this little blind spot right here. You think you see the road and you're coming and there's a car right there as you're coming. You got a hill crest and there's cars either flying over coming towards you or stopped as you're coming over the hill crest. You know, they're blind spots that we're not aware of, but we think we know how to drive. We think we know. And they're blind spots. We think. We reason without asking God. We feel a certain way, but God's not speaking. We look. We look over there. We see a valley like the Garden of Eden called Sodom. You know, that's what it looks like. It looks like the Garden of Eden. But God's not called us there. We think we're strong. We think we know the direction that God should go, but we have a blind spot. We need to be humble. We need to be humble about life. We need to be humble about other people. We need to be humble about church. And not changing lanes in the car in the blind spot. And Alan Boxley was talking about, he comes out from work, and there's a curve right where he comes out. And he always pulls out, and there's a car right on his tail. And then they cleared some of the trees, but there's some trees, so he tries to look before he gets to the curve and see them coming before they. And a lot of times he catches them because he's aware. But sometimes he doesn't. He pulls out, and there's a car right on his tail, you know, on the curve. And then I have a hill crest. When you come out of my driveway, there's a little hill like that, and people fly over there. And normally, I look left, right, and left as I'm pulling out. And that's how you're supposed to do. But on this hill, it took me like a year to realize. When I do that, a lot of times a car is flying over that hill as I'm pulling out, and I almost hit them. Like, where did it even come from? So I have to look left, right, left, and then right again as I'm pulling out. Yeah, that's why I have a sore neck, yeah. But, oh, the other thing about the stiff neck is like stubborn. If you're stubborn and you're not going to look right again because this is America, we drive on the right side of the road, this isn't England, like you might get hit by that car flying over there. And then Will Spillman, he said one time, this guy is coming down the road and he could see 29. There's a big truck on 29 and there's a pole right here. And the truck and him were traveling at the same, at such a speed that he never saw the truck. The pole just blocked them as they were coming. The pole was there. And then last minute, his passenger said, there's a truck. Because his passenger, the pole wasn't blocking the view of the passenger. So it's good, like sheep, to be around the body. Because other sheep sometimes see or sense something that you don't see. We have different gifts too. Discernment, wisdom, different things. And I don't know if anybody's ever observed deer, you know, like hunting or something. And if the deer are on to you, one of them might be on to you and the other ones aren't. It'll start flicking its tail. And then the other ones don't see you, but they know something's up, right? So when you're around the body, you can get the signals from the rest of the body. Like we can help each other with that. And avoid the blind spots. So the church, the pillar and ground of the truth, it helps us avoid blind spots, which are lies. In my subjective thinking, there was no car in that lane. I didn't see a car in any of my mirrors. In my subjective thinking, there was no car. But objectively, there was a car. When I began to go over, there was a car there. And so, yeah, Joseph was getting ready to turn into a blind spot by divorcing Mary. He didn't see God's plan, right? And his blind spot makes sense. Of course. It's a no-brainer that I can't marry her. But the angel said, watch out. Don't turn there. Stay straight and marry her. This is God's plan. You thought that was God's plan, but this is God's plan. Mary, knowing what may be coming the other way. What a woman of God. Like, she knew. Like, if she got pregnant out of wedlock, what was going to come? That culture, she knew. And then the cross that must have followed that decision, especially waiting for Joseph to make his decision. Like, what is he going to decide? And like, what a woman of God. And she believed God. She believed the plumb line. The word of God. She said, let it be to me according to your word. Like, I am your servant. I'll follow you. Let's pray. Lord, give us faith like David, but give us faith like Mary and Joseph to follow your word. And if there's anybody here who's never received Christ as their Savior, blessed are you who believe in him. He died to pay for your sin. He died on the cross. He was innocent. He died to pay for your sin. Just cry out to him. Call out to him. Ask for forgiveness from God based on the payment, the favor. You are highly favored. He's given you grace. Believe in him. And may we walk receiving your grace. And when it seems hard, to know your grace is sufficient for us and we'll trust you. And down the road, the end game, the end of the story, we will worship you and glorify you. We do now. We can't see everything. We walk by faith, not by sight. We trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, one more thing. Lord, we just pray that you'll bless the lunch and just give us great fellowship and just bless everybody here, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And those that aren't here.